I don't know if you guys know this or not, but next week, well, actually it's on a Monday, but we started this church. This will be our fifth anniversary. So in another week, this will be 5 years that we've been doing this church. And time flies, man, time flies. And, you know, I've been doing a lot of praying about specifically where God wants to lead us as a church. And I really feel like he's telling me to go back to our original roots and to really look at that again. Because I think part of what I've done is when leading this church is I've drifted from that at times. And I've gone away from the roots that God gave us about what this church was to be and started to model other churches in a way. And I feel like God's saying, go back to the roots that I've given you. And so I want to talk a little bit about what that is and then look at some of the scripture that we have today about what God really says about the church body and what his purpose is. And so I want to tell you about some of the things that God shared with me early on when we started the Well Church. You know, the first thing, and you've heard me say this, and it's become kind of a popular thing that others say now, not because I said it. I'm sure I got it from somebody else. But the first thing we need to realize is that the church is not a building. The church is the people. You'll never see in Scripture where the church is defined as a building where people go. The word usually used in Scripture in the Greek is ecclesia, and that means a gathering. It's a gathering of people in a community. And so that's what the church is. It's never meant to be a building. It's not meant to be a corporation. It's not meant to mirror what the world does. It's meant to mirror what God does. And that was the heart he gave me for this church, that we're not to operate like a corporation, although there are some legal things that we have to do. We're to operate like a body of believers, like a community that's been knitted together and grafted together by the blood of Christ. And part of that was not just to come here and hear somebody preach on Sundays or to listen to worship. Worship is something we do. It's not something others do. It's something each of us does. When we worship, we are to worship God from our hearts in truth.
You ought to listen to me mow the yard.
So I want to tell you that the thing that was so important to me about the Well and what we started, and the reason we chose to do it in a home, or we really feel that God led us to do it in a home, was this is where community gets formed. When friendships get developed and when true relationships begin to develop, it's in a place that feels like home. It's a place where you can come casual, where people can get to know one another in a personal way, where it's okay to bring your problems here. It's okay to bring your hurts here. And there's not just one person responsible for ministering. We're all responsible for ministering. You know, I don't care how much seminary training you might have or may not have. The Holy Spirit can lead us in all things. And he does lead us in all things if we allow him to. And so I want to get back to what that means to be a church that's focused on community and growing one another. Now, one of the visions that I had early on about this church and one of the things that God was showing me is the pop culture today in church is to build as many big campuses as you can, fill as many seats as you can. And you have one gifted person that's an incredible preacher that gets up and everybody comes to see that preacher, right? That's not the model God intended. When people get up and worship, you're worshiping next to strangers, people you don't even know most of the time. Or you may have your spouse or a few of your friends next to you. But you're one in a swarm of thousands gathered together to worship. Now in heaven, we talk about the multitudes worshiping Christ, and that's awesome. But here on earth, we are to build community. And the way that community is formed and the way true worship comes out is when you feel you're in a safe place, where you have people you know, like-minded people coming together to worship the Savior together. to pray for one another together, to break bread together. And that was the vision that God gave me, is that when you bring people together in relationship, real worship comes out as a result. Real worship. Worship from the heart. Worship from the Spirit and truth. And so that's the vision that God gave us for the well. Now, I want to get into my message here a little bit. So, one of the things that I've noticed about the American culture, and if you look at many of the Pew surveys, it will support this, that although there are a lot of proclaiming Christians, there aren't a lot of people involved in a church. They're kind of lone wolves. You know, they look at the church as hypocrisy. They look at the flaws of the pastor. They look at somebody that said something that was offensive. There was a theology that they didn't agree 100% on. So they walk away from the church. Maybe it was the worship music. I don't like the worship music. So they walk away from the church. No one talks to them, right? So there's a multitude of reasons why people have left the church. But guess what? That is not what God designed us to be. He designed us to be in this community called the body of Christ. It's a calling. When you've accepted Christ, your Lord and Savior, you're not just accepting the call to Him, you're accepting the call into the body. And I'm going to tell you this, as long as we're waiting on our Savior to return, you're going to find problems in the church. You're going to find problems with your pastor. You're going to find problems with each other at times. Tell me a family that doesn't find problems with each other. Right? You get annoyed sometimes with people you live with? Mm-hmm. Somebody spoke a little too loud there, I think. There you go. The church isn't a flawless place. It's full of broken people. And when you bring broken people together, it gets ugly. There's times where it's not pretty.
But you just said the magic word. It's supposed to be a family.
Right. But if we're not looking at it that way, we're going to find all the holes in the church and find reasons why we don't want to be part of that community. And here's why it's wrong. God designed you with unique gifts and talents, and He placed you in the church for a purpose. And when you're not part of that, we're missing something. I've said this before, the other reason we keep it small, it's not that I keep it small, it's that God keeps it small, is that because of that, we can all minister to one another. You know, a lot of people put everything on the pastor. It's the pastor's responsibility to do this, this, and this. My job is to teach and equip you, to be honest with you. Each one of you has a certain calling, too, that needs to be met in the church in some way. Whether it be serving, whether it be a prayer warrior, whether it be somebody that just has a heart of compassion that wants to be a shoulder for those in need. Maybe somebody here just has this powerful gift. They pray and people get healed. I've seen it. Whatever it might be, it's supposed to function together as a whole. It was never meant to be one person is the church. We are each part of the church. And that's how community is to be formed. Paul talked often about the body and the many parts. Now, even though they were each unique, they were knitted together by Christ, the head of the church, and were to be used collectively to edify the church, to edify, to build it up, to speak truth.
I still pray to hear God the way that other people hear God, but you know, it wasn't meant for me, and that's okay. But now I'm starting to accept that. But to me, when I first came to it, I wanted to hear Him talk to me, you know. And when I first got here, it was so upsetting to me.
I know. I remember
to not be able to hear Him that way.
Let me tell you something, Roy, because I so badly wanted to say this to you so many times. The way you hear God is more common than these other people that you met. God speaks to you in other ways. You wouldn't have gone and mowed that yard if God wasn't speaking to you.
Well, I hear him through music all the time, because I'll be going through something and all of a sudden he'll tell me turn here, and I'll hear just the right song that will tell me what I need to hear at a certain time, and you hear it and your spirit gets revived.
Right. Mm-hmm. Amen. So the way you hear God, I'm telling you, is more common than what the couple I know who you're talking about hears God. That's not common. The way I hear God, sometimes he just puts a word in my mind, or he puts a thought in me. Sometimes I'll see something, a vision that's very clear, but I don't hear his voice audibly.
Right.
I hear his voice by reading his word.
Right.
And I hear his voice by the Holy Spirit moving and kind of nudging me, saying, yeah, that's God speaking. The thing I've learned about Scripture, and even the Apostle Peter and Paul, there were times where they healed, and there were times where they didn't. Mm-hmm. Paul had a thorn in his side. Many people think it was a medical condition because Luke, the physician, traveled with him all over his missions. Why wasn't God healing Paul? So there were times where God will use somebody to pray and they'll be healed, and there are times where they won't. And we shouldn't be discouraged when he doesn't, because he's doing something else at that point in time.
Right.
So
could have been for me.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. I've prayed for people and have seen no healing at all. Uh-huh. And I prayed for people and have seen miracles. Mm-hmm. And it's like, God, you get the glory, whatever you're doing here. Amen. I'm just a vessel to pray. That's right.
Sometimes we're just a piece of the puzzle.
Yeah.
That's right. Absolutely right.
We're just a piece of the puzzle.
That, aren't you glad?
To use at that moment to bring something else into fruition.
That's right.
Maybe at the right time.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah. That's a prime example with Paul, because most people think it was his eyes because of other things that he said about the large writing and whatnot. But he makes it clear that was to teach him humility. He said the Lord told him, my strength is made perfect in your weakness.
That's right.
It's not about you.
That's exactly right, Dan. That's exactly right.
Yeah.
Imagine how proudful we'd be if we had all the gifts working in us at one time.
Yeah.
I mean, it's amazing. I mean,
that would freak me out, though. If we had all the gifts we're supposed to have all at the same time, I think that would really freak me out.
Well, people start calling you Jesus and they start worshiping you, right? And that's the problem. That's the big problem. We're to worship Him.
Mm-hmm.
We're not to worship the gifts or the people. We're to worship Him.
Right.
So, but you're right. That would freak me out too, right? I don't want that responsibility.
Nope.
So let me move on here. You see, I believe biblically that the small group is the essence of the church. You look at the life of Jesus and the disciples, and it was always a group of close friends that were coming together where relationships were built centered on Christ. And I believe the small group is the design of the church, and what's taken place is the church has grown and is starting to realize that, and so it started developing these small group programs. Well, there wasn't a lot of emphasis on it. There wasn't a lot of training for the leaders, and it became a circle of friends, a niche,
a social gathering,
and it wasn't a place where worship took place, where prayer took place, where reading the Word of God being taught. And so, you know, it was more of a checkoff, saying, yeah, we do small groups. That's been my experience anyway in different places I've been. And the essence of the church is supposed to be the small group. And then they all come together at times to worship together. But the small group is where discipleship takes place. And so that's why I believe God gave us this model. Now, if you guys would turn to 1 Thessalonians, we're going to look at chapter 5, verse 14. And it's in the Bible, the YouVersion Bible event.
Which book again?
It's 1 Thessalonians. Chapter 5, verse 14. And I think this one verse gives us a very good understanding of what this community is meant to be. I have anybody that would like to read that?
Yeah. Brothers and sisters, we urge you to warn those who are lazy, encourage those who are timid, take tender care of those who are weak, be patient with everyone.
Thank you so much, Dan. You see, I believe that this is what the church was meant to be, in a sense. It's about discipleship, fellowship, worship, ministry, and evangelism, actually. All are to take place within the concept of community. All of these things. And if you read them closely, I'm looking at the NIV, warn those who are idle and disruptive. Encourage the disheartened. Help the weak. Be patient with everyone. That doesn't need to take place in the context where everything's perfect, right? That takes place in the context where everything's falling apart. There's no room for pride in the life of a Christian. Pride knocks us down. That's why people start to call us hypocrites, is because we think we have it all together. We think we're righteous. We think we've figured something out that other people haven't. The only thing we figured out is that we have a remedy for our brokenness. We don't deserve it. It's by grace. And grace is a key ingredient to community. Grace. Now, one of the first things it says in this passage is we are to urge one another. Urge one another. I think if we don't build relationships in this church, then all this will fall on me. And I can't do it all. I wasn't supposed to be the one to do it all. We were to do it together.
But see, that doesn't mean that just because you're small, you shouldn't invite other people to come in, because there might be gifts that are currently missing.
Absolutely, Roy. Yeah, and I don't want to tell you that I made this small on purpose. If we got to a certain size, our model is to multiply.
Well, no, because my reason for saying that is because when we started, yeah, it was even smaller than this, but because it started, I got a new brother.
Right.
And Shane came out of nowhere, out of the clear blue sky, and right. Here he comes. And now we got a new brother because
we can have it on the world.
Just because you haven't opened your door and invited him in.
And we'll put your personal information out there, your address, and just trust them in God that you're
protected. We did. It was scary at first. I mean, Cindy and I were both like, oh boy, here we go. And the way the government works, we had to, in order for them to accept us as a church, we had to open it up to the public, which is fine. You know, it was scary at first, but God called us to do it, and we trusted him.
Right.
And so, what's that?
He's protected us.
Oh, yeah. This has been awesome. It's been an awesome 5 years. We've never had a problem.
We got Jade, and she's got this little ministry she does to help women, and I like to help women in domestic situations, mm-hmm. And I was able to work with her for that little girl a few months ago that needed some help, and spiritual uplifting, and we wouldn't have known her.
Right.
And I met
Sarah
online.
Right.
Accident, so.
Yeah, me too.
Cindy. Yeah, it's all these little things, but you gotta have one place to connect all the dots, and you just happen to be it.
Right. Yeah. I mean, there's no question. It's been a place where all kinds of relationships have been developed, and you know, not even just here, but all over the world, right, Sister Tina?
Yep. Yeah.
So.
I
love Google.
Here
we are.
And here's Roy.
That's good.
Roy had a hug for you.
Oh yeah, I mean everything. It's like one big network that God's brought together.
Well, yeah, it started like the Louisville Community Blabber when I lived in Louisville. That's how I connected with Sarah.
Yep.
Yeah, I'm looking online. And I see
Danielle too, because I had to drive her around. She didn't have a car.
Right.
She just asked on the page, "Can someone help me drive my baby to the doctor?" I was off that day, and so I drove her to the doctor, and that's how I met her. Just pulled up at her apartment, and I had no idea who that was. But.
Randy and Danielle?
Yeah. Randy and Danielle. Yeah.
And you, Darlene, that I told you and Cindy about, I'm looking on her Facebook page, and there's Yosenia's picture.
Right, right.
Like, they know each other. Like, it's like, that's Yosenia.
And so even though I live further away, you know, I still love coming up here. I was going to Gateway and trying different churches, but...
It's a God. I mean, God. This is how God works, folks. And getting back to this piece of text here, this is what I mean by going back to the roots. This is how we started. It was a conversation. Everybody's got a gift, and everybody gets a word from God. And I want to encourage that. I'm not here to perform for you. I'm here to hopefully start a dialogue where we can learn more about Christ and learn more about what he's doing in our lives. And so this is healthy. I love this. And I think a lot of people that come here have always said that we love the fact that we can talk about these issues and not just be talked to, right?
Be entertained.
Right. I'm not here to entertain.
See, but if I came for a message, I'd come to you for a message. But if I wanted to know the history, I'd go talk to Dan.
There you go. Dan is the history guy. If you ever play Trivia Pursuit, go see Dan. That's awesome. So, in 1 Thessalonians, he says, and we urge you, brothers and sisters. The word here, I'm getting old, stinks, guys. My eyesight is getting bad. The word is perikaleo. It's a Greek word. It's the same word used at times for the Holy Spirit. It literally means to come alongside of. Paul is urging this community. And I'm reminded that one of the big things that we miss in the church sometimes is to urge people to not sit on the sideline, but to... Remember that disruptive
separate,
part in this text there, Roy?
Sorry, yes. Separate.
You get to sit up front.
Y'all are trapped between Kim and Sandra, so sorry. Behave yourself.
I'm ADD. I'm going to go back to my table.
So it is to urge. There are times where we all need to be urged on in our faith. If you see one of your brothers or sisters that aren't coming to church, aren't getting involved, aren't doing something, be willing to call them or message them or whatever you do today on social media.
I did that this morning to get him here.
There you go. Urge.
Okay. Uh-huh.
Be the one, and it's not because, hey, you belong here. It's because I love you. I want to see you grow as God has called you to grow. We're not supposed to be idle. Salvation comes, and then we are to do something with our lives as a new creation in Christ. Because we've been set free, we can now serve him, not sit idle.
But what's funny is when you do go out and serve, it leads you to another opportunity and another opportunity and another opportunity all the time.
Yeah, serving has never been a curse, has it?
Nope.
It's a blessing.
I just wouldn't talk to people about ministry to them too much. Because I don't have to have a reason. I don't just walk up to some stranger on the street. That's not me. Well, that's not me. But going to Budget Suites, I found myself able to do that more, to talk to people.
I've seen you guys, and I'm the proud pastor that gets to watch this and say, it is so awesome how God works. And you know what people say about all of you when we go out and do these things? Well, I've heard that, but I'm not to knock any churches. I have no intention to do that. But our friend Carl, for example, 200-plus member church, and nobody comes with him.
Yeah.
And he looks at our small church, and we have usually 90% participation. He's going, you guys are awesome. You're always there to serve.
I love Carl. I love you so. He's a leadership. Yes. He's just, wow.
And so that says something, guys. God is growing each of you. It's not me doing it. It's God doing it. And I get to go along for the ride and watch it and just love seeing it.
I'm waiting until they close my business down because I keep blessing people. I'm just afraid they're going to call and complain to my corporate office.
Well,
well, if that happens, God will leave you somewhere else. Don't worry about it.
We shouldn't be afraid to bless people.
That's right.
You know, there are so many reasons we need to be willing to urge each other on. And because we're small, we know when people are missing. You know, like Sarah and Robert, we know they're back. They're not here. We contact them, say, everything okay? Well, they have a problem this morning. And so we gave us an opportunity to pray with them and say, hey, we're praying that this all gets worked out. They had a flat tire in their van. It was just one thing after another this morning. I message people after service a lot of times, just say, everything okay? I'm praying for you. I want to encourage you guys, if you know somebody here, do the same. It's not that you're pointing them out. It's that you love them and you want to see them grow in Christ and you're here for them. Now, the next thing that he says in this is warn those who are idle and disruptive. Warn. Warn. See, there are people in danger when they become idle. You ever see how lions hunt? They chase a herd until there's one left behind. And then that one weak one, they pounce on. Satan does the same thing. He loves seeing people get isolated. Because when you're alone, you're on your own vices now. You don't have the encouragement of this community of believers around you. There's protection in that. And so it's so important to have people that you can call and have be open to people calling you and allow them to speak love and truth into your life. That's such an important thing.
I've done that over the years with Dan and with Shane and even Sandra, and I do it all the time.
That's a good thing. It's a good thing. Guys are least likely to do that, by the way. We, you know, we're brought up that we're to be tough guys, we're to have it all figured out, and we're to solve all the problems. And if we can't figure it out, we pretend like we can.
Yeah.
And
well,
yeah? Well, there's some women that do too, all right? But that is how guys are wired. We're brought up that way. And what the Bible tells us, it's okay to go to your buddy and be vulnerable around him, but if you do that, whoever's on the receiving end needs to respect that and be compassionate about it. Because what I've learned is when a guy opens up and you start knocking that down, they're not opening up anymore. That's the way guys are, I'm telling you. If you ever study Marriage on the Rock, that's one of the things they spend a lot of time talking about is with guys, you know, women are very soft on the outside and tough on the inside. Guys are tough on the outside and very soft on the inside. And if they start to show emotion and somebody makes them feel insecure about it, they're done. They're going to shut that down.
I think that's why sometimes guys like to talk to me about stuff, because I'll sit and listen. I don't really ridicule them if they have to get mushy or, you know. So.
That's good. I mean, I'm one where if I start to share something private and emotional, and somebody says something that makes me feel like, okay, I said something I shouldn't have said here, I'll shut down. I'm done. Never mind. Let's not worry about it.
Human nature.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, that's how guys are very sensitive emotionally. When we reveal stuff and people make fun of it, it's like, psh, I'm done. So we need to respect each other, but we need to be able to warn one another when we're idle.
So true.
It's so easy. I mean, because we seem so tough on the outside, people think we can take punches and stabs, and guys are very sensitive emotionally. They just don't want to admit it. So, now there's warn. The next thing he talks about is to encourage. Encourage the disheartened. This means to actually cheer up or to comfort. It's kind of the opposite of being poked at, right? You guys have the ability to reach out to your friends and encourage them. Encourage them. When each of you encourages another, that's an awesome thing. I feel like if the pastor does it, there's a guilt trip that they think, oh, he's putting a guilt trip on me. Mm-hmm. So I need you all to step in and play that role. I'll encourage you all day long, but I don't want you to feel like I'm encouraging you because I want you to be part of my church. That's up to God and you and not me. The encouragement needs to come from each other. Be willing to reach out to one another.
What if that voice you hear is the voice that determines whether or not you go do whatever it is you were intending to do, and it turns out to be something great big, you know?
Well, that's it. If you don't listen to the voice of God, you miss out on a lot of opportunities to just see God do some incredible things. I have never regretted stepping out in faith. Never. I regretted not stepping out in faith at times. So just trusting God, whatever, okay, if this is what you want me to do, I'll do it. And I know you're going to be there with me. And he always is. And so we are to encourage each other. Encourage. There are many times people come here very broken. And that's okay. We're human. We have bad days. We fall down. We get knocked down. We get kicked. You live in Satan's kingdom right now, folks. And it's pretty pretty scary at times to see how people just treat other people around us. You know, talking about the lady that had stage 4 cancer and she was having problems with her house, she's got a neighbor that just is ruthless, from what I understand. Just constantly reporting her because of her yard, reporting her because of problems. When they went to rebuild a fence, he got all upset because it wasn't done the way he wanted it done, and it wasn't even his fence. I mean, it's just ridiculous how people treat one another.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
That's just me.
It's like the guys who call the police for a kid having a lemonade stand.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
That's so ugly. That's just the ugliest thing
ever.
Where
are they thinking? Oh,
well, that's why I don't spend a lot of time reading stuff like that on social media. It'll just drag you down.
I try not to.
You want to get depressed? Just open up Facebook. Oh, my gosh.
That's why I go for the video show.
Well, I've said this to people before. Facebook can be a ministry tool if you use it for that. Mm-hmm. If you speak words of encouragement, if you post scriptures, do things positive, because most people don't see anything positive on Facebook.
I think I'm the last person on earth not to have a Facebook page.
Yeah.
Probably smart.
My 87-year-old mother has Facebook, right? Yes, ma'am.
She looks amazing.
Yeah, they surprise you. She's a firecracker, let me tell you.
Wow. I had no idea.
Pastor Tim.
Pastor Tim,
I
want to
be your mother's friend on Facebook.
There you go.
I do too.
Hey.
He
heard something. You can have your own Facebook page too.
You're talking about my grandma here.
And the other thing is, we are to help each other. That is a big part of community. Yes, we go out and help those in need. That is God's heart, to help the widow, to help the homeless, the hungry, the orphans. That's the heart of God. It starts in the church. You know, it's funny how people just tear each other down in the church and they go out and they feed the homeless. It's like, how does that work? And so we have to be developed in the church where we can learn to love one another truly the way God does. And be willing to help each other. I've said this before. If anybody here is in need of anything, you come see us. We will help out any way we can.
But you have to be really selective on who you help, because it's very easy for somebody with an open heart to get taken advantage of.
What's the sermon?
We have to be led by God. And when I say help somebody, helping them sometimes means no.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
You know, there's the whole enabling, which is, we all know how that turns out, right?
I'm watching it right now.
There's that, and no can be a loving word at times.
Yeah.
How often does God tell us no?
Well,
God, I really need this Mercedes. Would you please just... Right.
It's like I tell mine, you're going to get a lot more no's than yeses. Use your yeses very wisely.
Right.
Good lesson.
I mean, it's we do that out of love because we want them to grow, right? Mm-hmm. And sometimes the word no helps people grow. And so helping others, just it means whatever stage they're in, especially in our church, if somebody needs help, help each other out. It's not, again, it's not just the pastor's responsibility. If the pastor were the one doing all this, he would need all you. I, you know, God put me in a role as a pastor. He called me because I love his word. He called me to teach. But he also called each of you. Each of you has a gift too. And so we work together as a community to meet the needs of each other. I want to take us to one more piece of scripture, then I'm going to wrap this up. Acts 2:42.
How weird, I just turned to Acts.
Did you? Uh-huh. Acts 2:42-47. And this is really where the model of the well has come from. Do anybody like to read that? Acts 2:42.
They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and prayer. Everyone was filled with awe. And the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad, sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved.
Amen. There's some really important teachings in this. You look at this, there was, first of all, teaching. And the very second thing was fellowship. Fellowship. One of the reasons we say we start at 10, but I actually start at 10:15 with getting the service kicked off, is there's got to be time for fellowship. And so a lot of times we'd have food out here, you know, because people always surround themselves around food. And It's important to have a time of fellowship to get to one and know one another. Sometimes we go out for group lunches after church. Sometimes we do community things that are fun. And we're going to do another one soon.
Potluck lunches.
Yeah, remember the first service we had? What did we do? We had a pancake breakfast. And so those are all important things. Then he goes on to say that the breaking of bread into prayer. They ate together, they prayed together. That was the church. They ate together, they prayed together. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They were opening themselves up into relationships. They were building common things about who they were and helping each other out. They sold property and possessions to give anyone who had need. Now, I'm not suggesting you guys go sell all your stuff and bring it to the church. God has provided immensely. We've been able to do some incredible things. And, you know, what he's saying here is that needs were being met. Needs were being met. If somebody had a problem, the church was there to help. It's not the case so much anymore. We get sent a lot of people by other churches because they can't help them. Or they don't want to help them. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all people. They didn't have church buildings in the first century in Acts. They had temples where Jews would worship. And Paul was a Jew, and he had a heart, so he'd go to the temple and try and preach to the Jews, and most of them would reject what he had to say. Then he'd go and preach to the Gentiles, which he was really called to do. God called him to preach to the Gentiles. But they didn't have church buildings. They met in homes. And they developed fellowship with one another. And they did things together. They encouraged one another. They used all of the gifts together to serve in the church. And that's what church is, guys. I've always, you know, we started this. We had an awesome worship leader for a while. And then, you know, he had too much responsibility and decided he couldn't keep doing this. And so we're like, what are we going to do for worship? And came up with the YouTube idea. I'm like, I'm a sound guy. I know how to set up a sound system. And, you know, and it started with a small TV, and then we went to a projector and a big screen. And I was always concerned that, you know, everybody around us has these elaborate worship services, this production that goes on. And God said, that's not what it's about. I'd rather you guys come together and sing without anything, just praising God, spending time praising God and worship. And that's when it dawned on me that we don't need glamour. We don't need a professional worship team. We don't need these things. We just need God to lead us. And that's why we're doing this. A lot of people will look at this and say, you guys are a cult. What's wrong with you? You know, it's weird to some people, right? To come to somebody's home and do service. But it's not weird for you. Nope. We had service in a cornfield, remember? Yeah. So, hush, hush, hush. And we got dogs barking during our service. Oh my gosh. So I'm going to close here. I hope my point was driven home to guys that we're in this together. I can't do it without you. You can surely do it without me. There's no question. I'm just a small part of this whole thing. And each of you plays a very important role. And if we do this together, broken and all, just come together, love each other, encourage each other. Man, that catches on. That catches on. People see that and they're like, I want what you have. Like, well, what I have is Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. Right.
No 12 steps here.
No 12 steps here. So I just want to encourage you today, guys, spend time getting to know one another. Reach out to one another. Be the community that God called us to be. If you got a problem, don't be afraid to talk to us about it or talk to anybody. Let us help you. Let us pray for you. Let us encourage you and move you on. All right, let me pray.